Pastoral Care by St. Gregory the Great. Part 1, Chapter 5. Of those who are able to profit others by virtuous example and supreme rule, but fly from it in pursuit of their own ease. For there are some who are eminently endowed with virtues, and for the training of others are exalted by great gifts, who are pure in zeal for chastity, strong in the might of abstinence, filled with the feasts of doctrine, humble in the long-suffering of patience, erect in the fortitude of authority, tender in the grace of loving-kindness, strict in the severity of justice. Truly, such as these, if when called, they refuse to undertake offices of supreme rule, for the most part deprive themselves of the very gifts which they received, not for themselves alone, but for others also. And while they meditate their own, and not another's gain, they forfeit the very benefits which they desire to keep to themselves. For hence it was that the truth said to his disciples, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do they light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that it may give light to all that are in the house." Hence he says to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he, when he had at once answered that he loved, was told, "If thou lovest me, feed my sheep." If then the care of feeding is the proof of loving, whosoever abounds in virtues and yet refuses to feed the flock of God is convicted of not loving the chief shepherd. Hence Paul says, "If Christ died for all, then all died, and if he died for all, it remaineth that they which live should now no longer live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Hence Moses says that a surviving brother shall take to him the wife of a brother who has died without children, and beget children to the name of his brother, and that if he haply refuse to take her, the woman shall spit in his face, and her kinsman shall loose the shoe from off one of his feet, and call his habitation the house of him that hath his shoe loosed. Now the deceased brother is he who after the glory of the resurrection said, "Go tell my brethren." For he died, as it were, without children, in that he had not yet filled up the number of his elect. Then it is ordered that the surviving brother shall have the wife assigned to him, because it is surely fit that the care of Holy Church be imposed on him who is best able to rule it well. But should he be unwilling, the woman spits in his face, because whosoever cares not to benefit others out of the gifts which he has received, the Holy Church exprobates even what he has of good, and, as it were, casts spittle on his face, and from one foot the shoe is taken away, inasmuch as it is written, "Your feet shod in preparation of the gospel of peace." If, then, we have the care of our neighbor as well as of ourselves upon us, we have each foot protected by a shoe. But he who, meditating his own advantage, neglects that of his neighbors, loses with disgrace one foot's shoe. And so there are some, as we have said, enriched with great gifts, who, while they are ardent for the studies of contemplation only, shrink from serving their neighbor's benefit by preaching. They love a secret place of quiet. They long for a retreat for speculation. With respect to which conduct, they are, if strictly judged, undoubtedly guilty in proportion to the greatness of the gifts whereby they might have been publicly useful. For with what disposition of mind does one who might be conspicuous in profiting his neighbors prefer his own privacy to the advantage of others, when the only begotten of the Supreme Father himself came forth from the bosom of the Father into the midst of us all, that he might profit many? Chapter 6. that those who fly from the burden of rule through humility are then truly humble when they resist not the divine decrees. There are some also who fly by reason only of their humility, lest they should be preferred to others to whom they esteem themselves unequal. And theirs indeed, if it be surrounded by other virtues, is then true humility before the eyes of God, when it is not pertinacious in rejecting what it is enjoined to undertake with profit. For neither is he truly humble who understands how the good pleasure of the supernal will ought to bear sway, and yet contemns its sway. But submitting himself to the divine disposals, and averse from the vice of obstinacy, if he be already provided with gifts whereby he may profit others also, he ought, when enjoined to undertake supreme rule, in his heart to flee from it, but against his will to obey. Chapter 7. That sometimes some laudably desire the office of preaching, while others, as laudably, are drawn to it by compulsion. Although sometimes some laudably desire the office of preaching, yet others are as laudably drawn to it by compulsion, as we plainly perceive if we consider the conduct of two prophets, one of whom offered himself of his own accord to be sent to preach, yet the other in fear refused to go. For Isaiah, when the Lord asked whom he should send, offered himself of his own accord, saying, "Here I am, send me." But Jeremiah is sent, yet humbly pleads that he should not be sent, saying, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." Lo, from these two men, different voices proceeded outwardly, but they flowed from the same fountain of love. For there are two precepts of charity, the love of God and of our neighbor. Wherefore Isaiah, eager to profit his neighbors through an active life, desires the office of preaching. But Jeremiah, longing to cleave sedulously to the love of his Creator through a contemplative life, remonstrates against being sent to preach. Thus what the one laudably desired, the other laudably shrunk from. The latter, lest by speaking he should lose the games of silent contemplation. The former, lest by keeping silence he should suffer loss for lack of diligent work. But this, in both cases, is to be nicely observed, precisely observed, that he who refused did not persist in his refusal, and he who wished to be sent saw himself previously cleansed by a coal of the altar, lest anyone who has not been purged should dare to approach sacred ministries, or any whom supernal grace has chosen should proudly gainsay it under a show of humility. Wherefore, since it is very difficult for anyone to be sure that he has been cleansed, it is safer to decline the office of preaching, though, as we have said, it should not be declined pertinaciously when the supernal will that it should be undertaken is recognized. Both requirements Moses marvelously fulfilled, who was unwilling to be set over so great a multitude, and yet obeyed. For, peradventure, he were proud, were he to undertake without trepidation the leadership of that innumerable people. And again, proud he would plainly be, were he to refuse to obey the Lord's command. Thus, in both ways humble, in both ways submissive, he was unwilling, as measuring himself, to be set over the people. And yet, as presuming on the might of him who commanded him, he consented. Hence, let all rash ones infer how great guilt is theirs, if they fear not to be preferred to others by their own seeking, when holy men, even when God commanded, feared to undertake the leadership of peoples. Moses trembles, though God persuades him. and yet every weak one pants to assume the burden of dignity. And one who can hardly bear his own load without falling gladly puts his shoulders under the pressure of others, not his own. His own deeds are too heavy for him to carry, and he augments his burden.